Dial Ride Coastsiders, it's Friday, October 16th, 2020. Batten down the hatches and fuel up your generator. It's time for some coastal windage. That's right, this is Coastal Windage. I'm Ruben, Truthmaker, they call me. We're here with Livy Streetwise in studio. Good morning,
Livy. Good morning. Boy, I tell you, our call name could not be more apropos for what's going on outside.
Right. Well, that was Coastal Wind. That's right. This is Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast. Some breezy voices for your breezy morning. And it is a breezy morning. I don't know about you, Livy, but...
I thought you were going to make a joke about hot air.
We're getting there. That's your joke to make about me. Remember, we worked this out before the show started.
Okay.
I'm the hot air gas bag over here. But speaking of hot air, we got the Santa Anas going in about, I'd say, 1:30, 2 o'clock last night. Doors started banging. Windows started banging around the Truthmaker house. I had to go around and shut windows and put shoes in doors so they wouldn't slam shut. The wind was really howling around 3 o'clock last night, and I fully expected to wake up this morning with no power.
Me too. I don't sleep in that kind of weather. Yeah. And I have insomnia anyhow, so I went to bed at 12, woke up at 2, and that was it. I was happy there was electricity because I watched TV until 6 a.m.
Yeah, I didn't sleep a wink last night either. And whenever the wind blows, I just am constantly anxious about stuff blowing over, trees falling down, something I didn't, you know, a gate that I didn't latch that's banging in the wind or something. I just cannot relax when the wind's blowing. Yeah. And now we've got the added stress of any time the wind picks up, are we going to lose our power?
And is there going to be a fire?
Is there
going to
be a fire? Right, because the last time I was up at 3 in the morning and a big gust of wind came up, it was that lightning storm on August 17th,
right.
And it started the big fires down the big basin. So there's no lightning this time, but with the temperatures we've been having the last week, everything is just a tinderbox right now, and with those winds going, it's just going to take one person out there, doing some yard work with a metal tool that strikes a rock, or
or some gender announcement. You heard that, right?
No, I have no
That's
idea.
That's how one of the fires started.
What?
Because, a couple was pregnant and they were doing one of those pink blue things, and I think it was a firecracker.
Oh, brother!
And it started one of the fires.
No,
I don't know. There were other reports to say, well, actually, no, it wasn't really the cause of one of the larger ones, but it did start a fire.
Okay. If you were throwing a firecracker around in the month of August, California, that should be a citation right there. All right. This is Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast, Coastside's number one live call-in talk radio show. Every Friday from 9 to 10 a.m. on KHMB Radio. That's 100.9 FM and rockin' 1710 a.m. and streaming live on KHMBRadio.com. And if you miss today's live broadcast, every single one of our shows is in podcast form on KHMBRadio.com. Go to the podcast tab and look us up. There are 119 shows to listen to over the last 4 years. It's quite a slice of Coastside life. Okay, and thank you to the Half Moon Bay Brewing Company. That's our sponsor for this show. BrewCo offers California chow, house beers, and patio dining, as well as takeout. All tables, first come, first serve basis. They're doing all the social distance measures that are required, including social distancing, maximum party, 6 persons per table, and their updated menu, which we like to virtually sample every week here on the show.
Oh, yeah.
Today, we've got virtual plates of grilled artichokes and the calamari.
Oh, my gosh. Those are both two of my favorites. They're fantastic. Actually, I didn't like artichokes until I was there with a friend who got it. I'm like, I could get used to these. And so now it's a staple for me.
Well, you've got the virtual artichokes over there. I love calamari. I just, I could pretty
and
much
And their aioli. Don't forget their aioli. Oh, yeah, I mean, it's almost a conduit for the aioli.
Okay, that's an excellent point. I mean, I love calamari, but it goes to another level when you have a nice aioli to dip it
in. Don't be serving me cocktail sauce.
No. That's like from the 70s.
Totally
Give
janky.
Me the aioli, the creamy aioli. Yep. So that's something to enjoy at the Half Moon Bay Brewing Company.
Were you down there this past weekend?
I was not.
So maybe you could fill me in on what the heck was going on, because I have not seen so many extravagant cars.
Like
on the
old
coast
cars,
since or? Dream Machines. No, like lines of Lamborghinis, lines of Ferraris, lines of Porsches, like all over Princeton Harbor. And I don't know where they were going or what they were doing, but it was like a fancy Dream Machines. And there were lines down the sidewalk for both Barbara's and the brewery. I had no idea what was going on.
Well, probably a car club or multiple car clubs passing through
wild.
On a rally, and they know where to go for good chow and beer, and that is the Half Moon Bay Brewing Company. Check out the Baja Fish Tacos, a flat iron steak, lots of great seafood burgers, and did we mention beer and wine? It's Friday.
Yeah, but their beer is so good.
I know. Well, I get to the beer at the midway point, because the beer has to have its own special commercial just for the beer.
When do we get to sample that on air?
That is a good question. I think we need to have, you know, a sampler brought to us.
I would agree with that.
Because how can we really talk about it unless we're actually testing it at the moment? All right. It's Friday. Treat yourself right after a long week. Get some food at the Half Moon Bay Brewing Company tonight and drink a beer for us. Okay, this is a live call-in talk radio show, so call in and talk to us live. 560-9851 is the number to call. And if you're not in San Mateo County, that area code is 650. Or you can send us an email at coastalwindage@gmail.com. The number to call again, 560-9851. Okay.
Do you know that today is Boss's Day?
I did not.
Yes.
Boss's Day. It's Feral Cat Day. It's Liqueur Day. And it is World Food Day. I heard that from Radio Legend Jay Michaels this morning on the drive-in.
Yeah, so don't forget your bosses out there. I have a great one and super thankful for her. So, and did you hear that the lemur that had been stolen from the San Francisco Zoo was found at a local kindergarten in Daly City. Lemur has been found, and it's in good health, and it's back at home in the zoo.
It was at a kindergarten? Like, if somebody had enrolled it? Like, put a ball cap on it or something?
No, it was the class pet, apparently.
I mean, okay, like, I could see a lizard or a tarantula or something, but somebody brings in a lemur, like, hey, Mrs. Jones, I've got a lemur.
Look what I found.
I mean, it's just, you know, I found it in my yard. Oh, okay, we'll take a lemur in. You know, we don't need to check around about see about that.
They found it.
Okay.
just
Daly
update.
City. Weird stuff happens in Daly City, and this is no exception.
All right, I won't sidetrack you anymore.
Well, no,
sorry.
That was. Anytime there's a lemur showing up in a kindergarten class, I think we need to talk about that. So didn't sleep a wink last night, and have been in the house a lot, as we all have. It's been making me think. Also, I'm elderly now, so I've been thinking a lot about history and the passage of time. A couple weeks ago, we had Barbara Vanderwerf on. She's the author of Granada, A Synonym for Paradise, which is kind of the history of the founding of El Granada. And so I've just been thinking about history, reading a lot of history, and thinking about the passage of time. I just finished reading a book in which one of the main characters tracked the passage of time by placing stones in a jar, so one stone a month, 12 months a year. Mm-hmm. And doing this method, he was able to keep track of his age and the passing of time in the absence of a calendar or any other method for tracking time. And slowly the rocks accumulated over years and decades, and with them that sense of the passage of time. If this character had not put the rocks in the gourd over time. Time will have passed. This person will have aged, and yet there's a, like a not, you know, 1 month to the next, 1 year to the next over the course of the middle of your life. It can kind of all glom together.
Sounds kind of depressing.
Well, and so it's nice to have a way to kind of mark that passage of time. It's hard to have the full sense of self without one's context.
Is it?
In time and relationship, and it's okay. Passing. Say what? I don't know. I think
I could do without birthdays these days. I mean, it's fun up until you're 21, and then do they really matter?
But don't you need some kind of sense that, like, today is not the same as yesterday? And I don't know. I just feel that time is ephemeral and it's fleeting, and it's kind of taken for granted in our modern rush world. One of the ways that So I'm into history. I like the passage of times. But one of the ways I've always marked it, large chunks of time, is the growth of trees, specifically palm trees. They grow steady and tall, and they're straight, and there's no branches. And so they're kind of a good, you know, measuring stick as they grow up over years and decades.
Mm-hmm.
And so in 1979-80, when I was growing up, we had some massive storm floods from a nearby creek that destroyed a large amount of our property. And so it took us months to kind of rebuild that section of the property with loads of dirt and stuff. And at the end, my dad and I planted two palm trees at the entrance to a road leading from our property down to the creek. And when we planted these palm trees in 1980, they were only about 2 feet tall. I wasn't even a teenager yet. I think I was barely as tall as these trees that we were planting. Now, over the years, I've watched these trees steadily grow. Through 40 years, these trees have survived fire, drought, births, deaths, weddings, divorces, presidents, wars, and everything else. They're still there. They've been witness to 3 generations of our family. They're now well over 50 feet tall and can be seen from anywhere on the 10-acre property. They are monuments to time. When we moved to our current house in El Granada, the property included 3 young palm trees. One of them I could barely trim with a ladder, but I could get up there and, you know, trim the fronds that kind of like die off and are at the bottom, look kind of trashy. Another one I could easily trim standing on the ground, and the third was about 1 foot tall. And now, 10 years later, I can no longer trim the larger tree or the middle tree because they have grown so much.
Wow.
For some reason, the third tree is still only 1 foot tall. It's like a pygmy palm tree. I mean, it's this little miniature palm tree.
Well, that's actually what I was going to ask you. Do palm trees just, aside from the pygmy palm tree, do they keep growing?
Well,
or maybe they were just very young when you moved into the house.
They were very young, and these are ones that clearly look like they're going to grow, you know, many.
Are they the royal palm?
They're not the real tall, skinny ones, but they're not what I call the I call this the Los Angeles palm because you see these down in Los Angeles
lining,
a lot.
Like
no, that's the Bel Air. Those are like the tall, skinny ones. Oh. This one, you know where the old clubhouse is in El Granada? It's on Avenue Portola. It's the original depot for the Granada train station. Mm-hmm. They dragged it up there, became the clubhouse. Now it's a private residence. There's a palm tree planted in that yard that they planted when they dragged the building up there. That is what I consider a Los Angeles palm.
Oh, right. Okay.
It just reminds me of L.A. So, anyways, So now my palm trees in my yard are growing larger, and there are several palm trees in El Granada that I can see from my house, including 4 on Valencia that are the tall, skinny kind that you're talking about.
Yeah.
And so they are kind of markers of time, and my palm trees will grow up, and in 10 or 20 years, they'll be seen from anywhere in El Granada. So that's kind of it. There's something comforting about the continuity of watching a tree grow over decades, to me anyways. On a little bit of a sad note, speaking of passing of time, so the paper had, we lost 2 kind of really stalwarts of environmentalism on the coast and activism in general last week. Chris Tolog of Monterra and John Lynch of Half Moon Bay.
I'm sorry.
I didn't know Chris, and I didn't personally know John, but my son used to go to Seacrest.
Yeah.
And we live in El Granada. So every morning I would drive him down to school at Seacrest in Half Moon Bay, and we would see John Lynch in his red, white, and blue Uncle Sam top hat.
That's John?
That was John
Lynch.
He
passed away.
Yes, in his scooter, always with a sign.
Oh, my gosh.
And I would point out to my son,
Wow.
When I heard of who John was and what his life was about and what he had, that I would point him out to his son of, son, to me, that's an example of what America is. That's what America means to me.
Oh,
this
I'm
man
so
right here.
Sad. Yeah. How old was he?
He was 95.
Wow. Yeah. You know, honestly, he probably, he tried to make it as long as he could, man. I bet you he was slightly upset that he passed before this election because he was so passionate about our country.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
And he, I mean, I met him when he would kind of station himself outside of Pete's.
Yep.
And I certainly by no means would call myself an activist, but he was responsible, I'd say. We've been on the coast 16 years now, and I would say about 15 years ago is when I met him. So Pete's wasn't there yet. I must have met him before that. But at any rate, he really inspired me. I think it was at the, was he ever outside the El Granada post office?
I don't think.
Or maybe it was the Half Moon Bay post office.
I think Half Moon Bay.
Yeah. Anyhow, he would always bring these propositions to the forefront that otherwise might have been lost on the ballots and how important they were, certainly for the presidential races. And but he was very inspiring. And my son and I would say similar things as we passed by because, and sadly, I didn't even know his name. I hate admitting that, but I absolutely know who he is and was inspired by him every time I saw him out there.
Totally. I mean, he'd be out there in his scooter in the mornings, whether it was foggy, you know, and you can quibble with various points, but...
you have to admire his passion.
And John was a member of what they call the greatest generation. And when you think about those people and their values and... what they brought this country through, it's hard to argue with that title. And when you see a person like John from that generation, it makes sense. So we're sorry to hear about the passing of both of those great Coastsiders. All right, so let's get to our topic.
Oh, wait, can I bring up one more thing kind of in line with that?
Yes.
Our station manager, Jim, this is a shout out to John above, that there is a mobile voting center at the HMB airport that is going to be there the 15th through the 19th. The hours are 9 to 5. And if you need further information, you can go to our KHMB website. Jim has posted it there. And, just the message is get out there and vote. We're trying to make it as easy as we can on Coastsiders. So, again, the mobile voting center is at the airport, 9 to 5, the 15th through the 19th. So get out there and vote.
Yes, please do. Do it for John. John would want you to do that.
Yes, he would.
Okay, topics for today. More sounds of the Coastside. We just barely, just barely got into that last week, and I really want to get into that because sounds of the Coastside are really something that makes the Coastside what it is.
There are many.
I'm looking forward to the sounds that people like. So callers, listeners, 560-9851, we're going to want to hear what are your favorite sounds of the Coastside and why. Okay, and I don't know if you heard about this, Libby. There's a recycling kerfluffle at the El Granada post office.
Oh, I heard, and I've seen
and
it.
And you've seen it? Okay.
First
We'll get to that. And the year without a pumpkin festival. That is, you know what? It would be this weekend. This is the weekend.
Wow.
Okay. So, all right, let's get to our air quality report. Everybody else gives you traffic and weather.
Not us.
I'm yawning. I want to know, can I breathe the air around me? And we will tell you that right now. Today in 0 to 50, amazing. 51 to 100, good. 100 to 150 and above, not so good. Today in El Granada, 9, single digits, 9, 6 in Half Moon Bay, 13 in Redwood City. And it's about 60 down in Santa Cruz, so not as good down south. Amazing here on the Coastside. All right, let's get to a couple of letters, email, real quick here. I don't think we've ever received an actual physical letter. That would be kind of cool.
That would be cool.
That would be cool. I would do the whole...
That would take extreme effort. That
would... Well, then it's never going to happen.
that would take a lot.
Oh, my goodness. For me to open it? No, I was thinking of like doing
No, for the writer to put a stamp on it, get to the post office.
I mean, we used to do that all the time, and now whenever I have to mail a letter and put a... It usually takes me about a week to muster up all the logistics involved in like getting a letter into the mail now.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Damn it, where's that stamp?
Totally. All right, here's an email from listener. Let them... it's just so hard to read these names sometimes. Let them eat ink. Let them eat ink about abundance. Abundant Grace removes letter. Oh, the letter that Abundant Grace removed from the food boxes last week. Okay, here's the letter. Good on Abundant Grace for removing that letter. Folks, when you call in, especially, but also when you send emails, no expletives, please. So I'm reading these things, and I'll just read right through an expletive here.
Yeah.
Okay, so this was a bad name that somebody's calling, I think, the president here. We're going to skip that. Good on Abundant Grace for removing that letter from the president in the food. Those food boxes are for Americans, not supporters of one party or one person. They should have never been put in the food boxes in the first place. Such a thing is a small, mean act by a small, mean person. All right, let's set aside the president on this. But what say you, Livy, and Coastsiders, 560-9851?
Well, you heard my opinion last week.
I
agree with the writer. I mean, again, party aside, it's for Americans. Like, let's not take credit for it. We have to watch out for one another. And I think that any way that we can... help our neighbor in any way, let's do it. And let's not be like, let's pat ourselves on the back for giving. Because no one wants a handout, right? I mean, but everyone at one time in their life needs help.
Yep.
You know what? So it might be the person to my left today. It might be me tomorrow. So anyhow, that's my take on it.
And thank you for that and reminding us from last week, because we kind of had this discussion when we were discussing the segment, but now we've got this letter. I mean, so you would agree with taking, let's just say, should the letter have been put in there in the first place? Clearly no, you feel no, and I do feel no as well too. But once it was in there, should it have then been taken out? And is that a slippery slope of like, who decides when and what gets taken out?
I hear you. I think it's... I'd be interested to know if they found out by accident or if they were told ahead of time that the letter was going to be...
They got a heads up that there was going to be a letter.
They did get a heads up.
Yeah.
So,
Let me add another twist. Can we separate this from the person? Let me just say... I'm just playing a devil's advocate here, parlor game. If the letter had been put in the box by President Obama or President George W. Bush, would the organization still have removed it? Would they have felt
it? I would have removed it.
You would, even if it was from President Obama.
100%. Again, you know, I mean, that would be hypocritical of me to say, you know, this is for Americans. But okay, if it's someone that maybe I... believed in their politics, I still don't agree with them taking credit for helping an American. I don't think that that's right. I do hear your point about, for all intents and purposes, censoring information, you know, and pulling it. I do hear you. But I think that there was no critical information in the letter. It was just, let me pat myself on the back and here is your handout type of thing.
The transgression was putting the letter in the box in the first place.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Here we have an email from listener Hoops Mama Lion regarding our interview on the new normal.
That was a great...
with Coach John Parsons.
Yes, that was a great interview, and I wish we'd had about 15 minutes to an hour and a half longer.
I think we're going to have to... build out the time for the interview segment, because it's just 8 to 10 minutes. It's not enough with the interesting Coastsiders we're having and the limited amount of time on the show. So Hoops Mama Lion writes, when this about the interview with John, Coach John Parsons, when this town is ready to put up a bust of John in front of the new gym, let me know. I will be the first to donate money. John is a Coastside goat and such a wonderful presence in the lives of our children. It brought a tear to my eye when he said he would never leave the Coastside. OMG, what a saint. Okay, a couple of points of order on this email. Hoops Mama Line. It's not called the new gym. It's known as the Lion's Den. Please pass
that. At least it is here.
Pass the word on that, please. It's the Lion's Den. And goat in sports used to mean the person who lost the game for you. Oh, you know, Ruben's wearing the goat's horns because
really?
That ball went right through his legs. But now it is a acronym standing for greatest of all time.
Yeah.
And John is definitely that.
I did mean to ask him, and maybe you know this. There are a couple of terrific athletes that I know that are freshmen, sophomore, great at basketball, but they go over the hill. Although they live here and are on the Coastside, are they able to take part in his clinics? Because right now, actually, practices aren't happening at the schools over the hill. I think maybe one day a week. And they could really use practice. And if the clinics are going on, if John is holding clinics and if there's any space, I wonder, I'm hopeful that that's something that they could do, but I didn't ask.
Well, these are not clinics that he's running right now. He does run clinics and camps where there's money paid and they have, you know, a kind of a structured thing. This is
for the league.
This is practice for the high school teams and associated youth teams here on the Coastside that John, we weren't able to get fully into it in the interview, spent weeks working out details with liability details and other safety details with the school district, because this is held on the campus of the Half Moon Bay High School. So no, I don't, there's no way that kids not affiliated with the high school or
could
with
get in on that.
John's other teams could get in on that.
I see.
And he just sent out a new list of increased protocols, things that the kids need
to do.
Isn't
it crazy these times? Honestly.
It takes a lot of work.
Well, I'm appreciative to him and to all the teachers and the coaches that have put in the work to make it possible for these kids to get out there and exercise and be taught and all of it.
Totally.
It really, it's made such a huge difference, huge impact.
I love the idea of having some busts of local legends outside the Lion's Den. Wouldn't that be cool? Kind of like a Yankee Stadium feel where we have, you know, three or four of these big, you know, bronze busts of famous. Does Half Moon Bay High or Half Moon Bay have a Hall of Fame? I mean, like, you know, that we could have like a wall of plaques or something.
I don't know. The last time I saw one of those, it was on my cross-country road trip last summer, and I stopped off at Notre Dame and saw the bust of Newt Rockne.
Oh, mm-hmm.
That was pretty impressive. I was so excited. Me and my dog Mo we got a selfie with Newt.
Nice. Okay. Let's see here. You know what? Usually I give the numbers, the coronavirus numbers for the Coastside.
Yeah.
I'm not going to give each individual number this week because I just want to say the numbers barely ticked up at all from last week. So
that's
really
good.
In all the weeks I've been looking at this, I would say this was the fewest amount of cases added week upon week.
Boy, we are very fortunate then. We are in somewhat of a bubble over here on the coast because it's going up.
I know, but I think San Mateo County is doing a really good job. But, you know, there's no such thing as isolation in the modern world. Hey, you know what? Let's get to Sounds of the Coastside because we didn't get to it last time, and it's already 9:30. Can you believe
that?
I know. What? Okay, more Sounds of the Coastside. We've done segments on signs, plaques, birds, whimsy, sources of news, democracy, other things. But Sounds of the Coastside. Last week we want to talk about what are some distinctive sounds of the Coastside. Coastsiders, what is your favorite sound of the Coastside, your least favorite? What sound do you most associate? Last week, we had a caller. We had barely gotten the word Sounds of the Coastside out of our mouths, and we had a caller from Aaron from El Granada who said her favorite sound was the foghorn, which, of course, is the number one answer. Now, it's not actually a traditional foghorn that I'm going to do some Foley sounds here with my mouth. So,
yes. Everyone brace themselves.
Yeah, steel yourself for this. Okay, it's not a traditional foghorn with the two-tone sounds, you know, it's not like that. This is a navigation beacon with a single tone that sounds every 11.5 seconds. And this is what, it's not,
That's exactly what it sounds like.
No, it sounds exactly like this.
I can hear that.
That's what
it
sounds
like.
Are you
sure it's not you out there on the jetty?
I've got my megaphone. No, that would be yelling something else. I'd be yelling something else. Okay, so what are some of the distinctive sounds of the coastside? Let's go through it. Okay, surf.
Yeah.
Right? You can hear the ocean waves.
Can you? I can't.
I can. You can't? We're like a block apart.
I can't hear it. I do hear the foghorn, or wait.
Just call it the foghorn.
And the seals.
Okay.
I hear the seals.
Seals and sea lions.
I love the seals.
Okay, but you don't hear the surf.
Okay, I don't.
I can hear the surf. I'm sure there's other coastsiders that do hear the surf, maybe if they're a little closer. Wind. Right?
I try to block that out, but yes, that's hard not to hear.
So wind, I mean, beyond the heavy wind that we had last night and during the Santa Anas, wind, it's always there.
Yeah.
It's whistling through somebody's, you know, something, slapping a flagpole. The wind is a sound that seems like it's always around. Here's one. Small planes at the airport.
Yeah.
Right? That's sometimes it's more...
A little too low.
More noticeable than others.
Yeah.
Or if a helicopter comes through. You know, the small planes I can usually live with because it's kind of like a... It's the helicopters that really
the Coast
are disturbing.
Guard and even the few Lear jets that are coming in.
Well, I apologize for that. That's
please.
Radio
I
legend
wish the Truthmaker Lear jet would get quieter engines.
I sold mine, but radio legend Jay Michaels flies in from his estate in Arizona on his G6 all the time.
Whoa.
And he has taken the muffler off it to get extra horsepower, so it's a little loud. And
maybe you can parachute in next time.
Oh, that would be interesting. Let's see, what else have we got? Birds. Okay. Birds as a general category, but let's break that down. Birds in the harbor, you know, from time to time, there'll be like just a maelstrom of pelicans and other things just swirling around because they're...
I don't hear pelicans, though. Do they make a noise? I hear seagulls. Crows. And then I love hawks. I love the hawks in their thermals.
Oh, yeah.
Circling around their soon-to-be prey. And they're like, I absolutely love. And, sorry to interrupt, but coyotes in the foothills.
Oh, okay. Coyotes.
At like 4 in the morning, 3 in the morning. Love it.
Right.
As long as I'm not near it.
Coyotes, that's a good one, right?
Yeah.
Birds in the harbor, maybe it's not pelicans, but they're usually, when there's that maelstrom of birds, there's seagulls making noise, and there's pelicans swirling around and diving, and other birds.
Yeah.
We also have owls at night.
I love that
both
sound.
Both the screeching barn owls and the hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo.
Yes, I love that.
The horned owls. And other birds. I was in my garage a couple days ago, and I heard a bunch of honking or quacking. It definitely sounded like a flock of birds, and I ran outside, and it was a big V. It wasn't the big Canadian geese. It was some kind of smaller, I'm going to have
ducks?
To say, must have been ducks.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't seagull. They were flying in a V, and they were kind of making I wouldn't say a honking or a quacking sound, but definitely a bunch of they were all making noise and flying in a V. So it must, and they were light color, so it must have been ducks. But I heard it in the garage, and I ran outside, because these are sounds of the coastside that I associate with something good. I knew when I ran outside there would be a big amount of birds flying by, and I wanted to see
it. How about those darn raccoons? I hear those.
Ugh.
When our...
Chittering or getting into stuff?
So, all of the above. But especially when our plum tree is full bloom.
Oh, boy.
One night, my husband was upstairs, which was tree level, and sent me a video of... Even just hearing them, there were literally 8 raccoons. And when I went downstairs and made some noise, it was like raining raccoons. They were seriously enormous. Yeah. They, I would say they must have been, I'd say anywhere from 7 to 10 pounds. I mean, these were enormous raccoons. And then, yes, we've had some get stuck in our garbage pail. And then, of course, then the mating raccoons, which sounds like nothing you've ever heard before. It sounded like we had a bear on the side and they were like attacking each other. And it was terrible. It was just this mess of fur and fangs. And it was, we're like, we're not going the heck out there.
I had forgotten it about the raccoons. Yes, that is...
They are nasty.
I was kind of thinking of, pleasant sounds.
Yeah.
I forgot about the raccoons,
yeah,
though. Okay, you mentioned seals and sea lions. You definitely hear those at night. And,
yeah.
Traffic.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, you can hear traffic,
yes,
out on highway.
Yes,
especially when you've got a guy or a gal on their Harley with the muffler off. And
don't
you can
like
hear
that.
You know, going all the... You can hear that from El Granada to Moss Beach, pretty much. The tsunami warning. So this is...
Isn't it funny that that's like one of the things I always miss? I am so dead when a tsunami comes.
Well, but it's only once a month. So
I know.
It's the first Wednesday of the month at 10 a.m. And it's that kind of disconcerting, like, air raid siren.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You're just kind of like... It just... I think
catches
everybody...
Catches you off guard.
And everybody has this feeling, it, like, when you hear that sound from movies or whatever, like, that's a bad sound.
Yeah.
And so... I've read many posts on Nextdoor, people semi freaking out because they heard it. Like, well, what was it? You know,
I didn't see the warning.
First Wednesday of the month at 10 a.m. Okay, and here's the last one. Train whistle. Do you sometimes hear a train whistle?
Oh, my gosh.
Whistle?
So, you know what? That's a car with a horn.
Is it? Is that what it is?
That is a train whistle. And all of a sudden, when I first heard it, I... You're going to laugh. I thought of Scooby-Doo and, like, a phantom train, you
right.
know? Like,
oh, Ghost of the Ocean Shore Railroad or something.
Yeah. I pictured, like, this phantom train going through El Granada and Half Moon Bay. And then I was talking to someone. They're like, oh, yeah, there's this car that has this train whistle as a horn.
Okay, mystery solved. There was a post on Nextdoor about what was it? And I was thinking, well, I should have asked Barbara Vanderwerf if there's any ghost stories around the old train line. You know, like one night, a foggy night in 1912, the train went off the tracks and was never found.
Yeah.
And now, on late nights and foggy nights, you can sometimes hear it passing through the coastside. I should have asked her that. Some people thought it maybe was Dad's Luncheonette, because that is a train car down here in town.
Uh-huh.
Some people said that on... With the proper acoustics, they can hear Caltrain trains. That seems like a stretch.
Yeah.
Boats in the harbor. Somebody thought maybe that was somebody's car horn. Somebody said it's truckers that pick up fish and crab from the harbor, and they blow the train whistle to say see you and thanks. So, okay, so that mystery has been solved. Here's a mystery that hasn't been solved. Why are people so lame?
the old adage. That's never going to be solved.
That's not an open-ended question or
no.
anything. Things are getting messy at the El Granada Post Office because last month they removed their recycling bins, citing privacy concerns, which, I'm sorry, I'm not buying, but whatever the reason, they removed the bins. Unfortunately, many people are still choosing to remove, to leave their junk mail at the table instead of taking it, packing it out with them. This has spawned multiple posts on Nextdoor with associated pictures, and it is embarrassing and really just, I mean, who, right now, listeners, who is it? Who are you that just leaves your junk on the table there?
Yeah, call us. We would love to talk to you.
And as my 12-year-old son, who's not known as noticing everything going on in the world, pointed out to me, Dad, doesn't their stuff have their names on it? So wouldn't we know who's leaving their junk mail behind? That's what I went, oh, yes, absolutely. Livy reminded me this morning. Sometimes it just says resident on
it.
But oftentimes there is a name on it.
Mm-hmm.
My son was right about that. And here's the thing. This kind of takes some of the wind out of the indignant sails of vocal critics of visitors who are complaining about littering of the beaches. There's no tourists, there's no visitors leaving that stuff, that trash pile at the El Granada post office. Those are local El Granada residents leaving that trash. So please, come on.
And you know why that was done, right? Did you see the notification why they did that?
Well, I heard it was privacy reasons.
Yes, it was. It was privacy reasons, but it all stems from this voting issue.
It's about the voting
It's
thing?
All about the voting and scandal with the post office and the funding of the post office. They're just trying. I mean, I know that our local folks... They're just trying to make whatever they can work. They want everyone. They're getting all of their orders from above, right? I mean, they're just doing their best.
Okay, but Monterra and Moss Beach haven't removed their recycling bins.
I don't know.
The privacy... I feel like it's a cost-cutting measure, which I'm not... passing judgment on, like, if costs need to be cut, okay. I don't even mind them really taking the recycling thing. It's a pain in the butt, but, you know, we all have recycling bins at our house that we can put it in. So I don't necessarily mind, but I don't feel it's a private... I feel it's a cost-cutting measure, and that is kind of borne out by the fact that Monterra and Moss Beach still have theirs. So if this was a privacy
matter... I didn't know
matter,
that they had theirs. I thought it was across the board. What about Half Moon Bay?
That I'm not sure of. So if anybody knows, if you want to give us a call, if anybody knows about any of the other three post offices on the coast side, I've heard that they still have their recycling bins. It's only El Granada. Coastsiders, 560-9851.
Just pack your stuff up and get out. Don't drop your junk where everyone else has to take care of your stuff. That's really gross. And as I was saying, I'm not a super huge confrontationalist. Like, if I was at the post office, would I say something to someone who I clearly saw drop, you know, five pieces of mail on the table? I don't know. Maybe I would. It depends on the day. But on the air here, it really ticks me off. I'm a passive-aggressive confrontationalist.
From the safety of the studio,
a plexiglass.
Yes. We are high and mighty in the studio here. Out in the real world?
Maybe not. Not so much.
Speaking of messy, this really bummed me out. And I'm serious about this. It really made me sad.
Uh-oh.
Okay. And that is, I read in the paper this week that the city of Half Moon Bay has filed a suit against the Granada Community Services District and the Monterra Water and Service and Sanitary District over costs associated with the Intertie Pipeline, the poop line. This is a joint venture, SAM, Sewer Authority Mid-Coast, that these three entities partner on.
So why are they suing?
About costs associated with maintenance of the line uphill from, when I say uphill, up coast from Half Moon Bay. It's all tied together. It comes down to Half Moon Bay where the processing plant is. Each side is accusing the other of issuing misleading statements about who's doing what with the line.
Oh, for the love of God.
Each side probably has some level of culpability on
this. Probably so.
But the bottom line is the city filed suit against these other two entities, and however the city wants to spin it, I'm sorry, as a ratepayer and a resident of El Granada and a ratepayer of GCSD, this is basically a move against the people of the Midcoast, ratepayers in the MWSD and GCSD rate-paying districts. And this is why I'm sad. Right now, both locally and nationally, Livy, we need cooperation, compromise, and a willful intent to work together for the common good. And a move like this, filing suit with your sewage partners, only pits the city against Midcoasters and creates divisions rather than synergies.
It makes them come off as kindergartners that can't get along in a sandbox. Unbelievable. Get it together, people.
And this kind of thing, so filing suit about the sewage thing, this is going to make it all the more difficult to coordinate planning, infrastructure, and governance between these jurisdictions when it comes to traffic and other things. Okay?
We got to go to legal action.
Right. I mean, that's just, sorry. That just really upsets me as a Midcoaster that the city of Half Moon Bay is going to file suit on this instead of trying to work it out.
I think it's upsetting even on the Half Moon Bay side. I think no one wins here.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
No one wins.
It's exactly right. And this should certainly give great pause to any mid-coasters thinking about consolidation or annexation, a city of Half Moon Bay annexing or consolidating the coast mid-coast communities. Folks, listeners, definitely read this week's edition of the Half Moon Bay Review. In addition to the story about the Intertie Pipeline, there are several other meaty stories on current events that coastsiders need to know about. A really powerful edition of the paper this week. Check that out. Okay, you know what else is powerful? The beer at the Half Moon Bay Brewing Company. You know, I like to look for the high alcohol contents. How about this one? Take It to the Limit Barley Wine. This is a strong, dark beer. 14.5% alcohol content. That's a bottle of wine right there, practically.
Wow.
Here's some other beer options.
Is that a growler?
Okay, so you can get a 16-ounce glass on site or a 32-ounce crowler.
Oh, okay.
Crowler to go. Hop Dogma has growlers.
Oh, okay.
Half Moon Bay Brewing Company has crowlers, which are 32
ounces. That is a good distinction to know. I didn't know that.
Here's some other beers that they've got available. Pumpkin Harvest Ale on tap. It's that time of year. Ocho Barril, a collection of unique sour batch ales aged in oak barrels. I don't like the sound of sour batch ales, but anything aged in an oak barrel sounds delicious.
You'll take it?
Yeah, it sounds delicious. Cole Story Bro. That sounds like something.
I like that.
I can't think of the name. We have that crazy email person that always writes in with the emails that we can never understand what he's saying.
Right, yes. Yeah, the surfer
OG
dude.
OG Coastside or whatever his name is. That sounds like something that's an American IPA on tap, the Cole Story Bro. And, of course, I'm not a big hops guy, as I've mentioned, so I don't go for the pale ales or the IPAs. But on tap, they always can give you a tall, frosty Kolsch, and that definitely hits the spot for me. So, if you need a beer, and they have wine, too, and as we mentioned earlier, Great Eats.
Well, they have a full bar.
Yes.
All right, so, Half Moon Bay Brewing Company. Let's not sell that short.
All right.
And they make killer Shirley Temples for the kids.
Oh, okay.
Just so you know, I'm a Shirley Temple fan myself.
Oh, all right. Good to know.
Good to know.
When we have drinks in here in the future. When we get the interns back and they can start serving us as they used to.
I am missing that.
I know, right? It really takes kind of the wind out of the celebrity sails when you don't have a bunch of attendants to take care of your every whim. I feel like a regular person.
What?
I know.
That's such a shame, Ruben.
I know. All right. You know what else is a shame?
What?
We are in a year without a pumpkin festival.
You know, it really hit home when they were having the Great Pumpkin Weigh Off.
Okay.
That was last week, I believe.
Yes.
At the top of the week.
Station owner Jim Henderson was there live with the KHMB remote unit, broadcasting live from...
When was that?
That was Monday.
My husband, excuse me, has an office... you don't need to Lysol the whole place after I cough. Okay, we have a 5-inch thick plexiglass wall between Ruben and I. And I think I might have swallowed a fly and coughed. And with that, Ruben gets out a full can of Lysol.
I've attached,
sprayed it at my face.
You know the attachments at the end of a fire extinguisher?
Yeah,
I took one of those off and I attached it to a Lysol bottle, and now it takes two hands to aim this thing
around.
That's
what I got. So thank you for that.
Yes,
a little facial.
Coated.
Lysol facial. Anyhow.
Dr. Truthmaker.
My husband has an office downtown, and he sent me video because I guess there was a small parade that went through downtown with the winner. And that was fun, but it was also a little surreal because, you know, you miss the crowds and the applause. It's like watching
these ball games on TV and there's nobody in the stadium.
Totally. Totally. So I think that's for me when it hit home. I will say these pumpkin fields between Farmer John's and all the ones on 92 don't seem to be hurting, though. I mean, they seem to be doing very well. Every time I pass by Farmer John's, because I am constantly on one going up and down and try not to go on 92 over the hill. But
yes.
Farmer John's seems to be rocking and rolling.
They seem to be the
brewery of pumpkin patches.
Right.
So anyhow, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, I was just thinking of your scene of where you were describing the they had several of the award winners from the pumpkin festival. Yeah, driving down Main Street with their pumpkins on their cars. And it just reminds me of all the 4th of Julys and pumpkin festival weekends where Main Street has been the scene of so much happiness and enjoyment and tradition. Yeah. And through, I mean, the pumpkin festival has been around for 50 years. So it's gone through, you know, the Vietnam War. It's gone through the Iranian hostage crisis. It's gone through 9/11. I mean, we've had major
crises,
incidents, wars, and the pumpkin festival has always gone through. And like many other things that have never been disrupted before, somehow this coronavirus is just, you know, touching everything. And this is a year where we have no pumpkin festival because of it.
Well, I also want to give a shout out and kudos to the people who did cancel it, because there are plenty of states around the country that wouldn't have. And I really think that they put the safety and the health of our citizens above everyone else. Unfortunately, at the detriment of our downtown retailers
and senior co-signers. This is a major fundraiser for senior co-signers.
So they had to weigh that.
So that's an excellent point you bring up, Livy, of this is an important fundraiser for senior co-signers, which is an important segment of our community here. It is an important weekend for merchants, and we're really finding out this year. We always knew it, but maybe you know we take it for granted. But it's an important element of Coastside identity.
Yeah.
Here's a couple of quotes from Cameron Palmer, chairman of the Half Moon Bay Beautification Committee. He said, "This is absolutely heartbreaking, far beyond words for our festival committee. We know fully well the Pumpkin Festival's critical importance as a fundraiser for more than 30 participating nonprofit groups from the community. That is the essence of the festival. But the festival is also a premier showcase event for independent artists, musicians, and corporate partners, and a major economic boost from the entire coast side. So it's a blow to those fronts as well."
Yeah.
Kind of what we were saying. And to coastsiders. Okay. So it was a hard decision to make because there's so many groups dependent on it,
yeah,
and people looking forward to it, people who are looking to, you know, make the critical money they need for their business,
yeah,
or for their nonprofit organization. So it was a very difficult decision to make, but clearly it wasn't really a decision. It had to be done. We think of Main Street during Pumpkin Festival, sidewalk to sidewalk.
People.
Even if everybody was wearing masks.
No,
you can't have that.
It was a smart decision. It was a hard decision, a difficult one to make, but it was the right one.
Right. So there was it dies hard, though, and the efforts were made to at least keep the idea of Pumpkin Festival alive. And so they had the 47th World Championship Pumpkin Weigh-Off at Long Branch Saloon and Farms on Monday, as we mentioned. Jim Henderson, station owner Jim Henderson, was there with the KHMB remote unit. Maybe you saw him there. I believe it's a hot air balloon, and he landed it there near...
Like the Wizard of Oz.
Yes, exactly. And he had his microphone, and he was broadcasting there. And the winner was Travis Ginger of Anika, Minnesota, and he drove his pumpkin all the way from Minnesota.
No way!
Do you see how they do it? They've got a trailer. The pumpkin...
Yes!
The vines are still in dirt. They have like a trailer section for the pumpkin, which is all padded and everything, so it doesn't get damaged.
Yeah.
And then they have another section of the trailer, which is earth, and they have the vines going to keep it alive on the trip.
No way. Is that a first-time Minnesota winner? I mean, usually it seems it's from Oregon, Washington, California.
Yeah. That's a good question. I'm not sure. I believe it's his first time.
That's a big deal. And what was it, 2,500?
Yeah, big deal. That's a that good pun there, Libby. 2,350 pounds.
Wow.
Second largest ever. And he, because it's $7 a pound, Travis got $16,450 bucks for that gourd.
Well done, Travis.
The biggest from the coast side was 480 pounds. Tazi Polowitz $1,000 Tazi got. And we've got a call.
Sweet.
Here we go. Ruben Truthmaker and Livy Streetwise, Coastal Windage. Who we got calling this morning?
It's Penny Packer.
Penny Packer.
Hey, Penny.
Hey, Penny Packer, somebody from Minnesota.
You pronounced it wrong.
Oh, it's Minnesota?
Anoka.
Oh, Anoka. Oh, okay. Okay, well, I don't have the Minnesota accent going. So, okay, so Anoka, you know where that is? Is that near you?
I've heard of it.
Oh, is it near Mankato State? What about Gustavus Adolphus? Bemidji?
No.
Bemidji?
You're on a roll. I don't even know
what I'm talking about. Penn-Gilly? Is it anywhere near Penn-Gilly?
I've heard of Penn-Gilly, but no, it's not near Penn-Gilly.
Okay. So it's Pumpkin Country?
I just had to correct you on your pronunciation because you were wrong.
Okay. So
I like it when people call him to the mat. Thank you, Penny. I really appreciate that.
We don't need to do that. You don't need to make a special call just to remind me that...
No, keep calling in.
All right. Yeah, we do. We love every call. And Penny Packer, you are our most prolific caller. So anytime you call is a wonderful thing. So you just called...
Right,
just
had to correct you.
Okay, so it's Anoka. Penny Packer, thank you. We appreciate that. Thanks for the call. Okay, so Travis Ginger of Anoka, I'm sure... You know, I'm probably pronouncing his last name wrong, too.
Stick to Travis.
Moving on. Anyways, here's an amazing story related to the cancellation of the Pumpkin Festival.
Okay, we've got 2 minutes.
We're looking for the silver lining here.
Okay.
Local attorney Joe Cotchett, who we talked about on the show back in June, he's a local attorney. He's a landlord. He owns a lot of properties and businesses in town. Halfmoon Bay Winery, I believe he owns too. Back in June, he suspended rents for his tenants for 2 months.
I heard of this.
Right.
Yes. Yes, I heard what he did.
He donated 200,000 clams. Well, actually dollars, but $200,000 to the Halfmoon Bay Pumpkin Festival Beautification Committee and an additional $100,000 matching fund to make up for the money that's going to be lost because no Pumpkin Festival. So the 30 nonprofits that benefit from the Pumpkin Festival, excuse me, local attorney Joe Cotchett
is making
up for that.
I have to say, we need more angels like Joe. I read about that, and I just think that it kind of got me teary. You know what?
Absolutely.
If you can do it, do it. If you can afford to do it and have it in your heart to help those in need, because there's so many on the coast in need, especially right now. And Joe, thank you.
You know, if Joe or anybody who knows Joe is listening, he would be a perfect person that we would love to talk to on the new normal, our live interview segment.
But that would have to be an hour conversation, I think. I think you and I would have to say, hi, everyone, and here's Joe.
If Joe Cotchett agreed to be an interview guest on our show, we would carve out a much larger segment of time for that. And really, it might be a trend where we decide to carve out more time for the interviews in general. Okay.
Yeah.
And the question I have for Coastsiders, which you can call in for next week, are we sad? Coastsiders, are you sad about the Pumpkin Festival? Because it seems like leading up to the last few years, it's been a lot of grumbling about Pumpkin Festival and how you can't do anything that weekend and how the traffic is so bad. And now that we don't have it, we're kind of feeling nostalgia for it. Okay, we got to go. We have 2 emails. We have time for 2 emails?
No.
We don't?
No.
What?
No.
We have time for 1 email?
It's 10 o'clock. I don't know. If it only is telling us how great we are, then yes, there's always time. But
let's see. Okay. I'll just take the first one here. Oh, boy.
Maybe not.
This one's from the... I don't know if I can say this word.
We are over time
okay,
now,
Ruben. Well, then that answers that. I will read these emails next week because I'm not sure I could read the first one.
Without